On page 981, this is Mark's reading for this morning. Mark 14 on page 981, starting at verse 22. Mark 14:22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, we do look forward, don't we, to that day when Jesus comes and every knee will bow the knee to him. And we shall see him as he is and worship him as we ought into all eternity.
What hope we have as believers. Let me encourage us now, please, to turn to Matthew and chapter 14. Matthew and chapter 14, as we continue in our studies on spiritual depression, its causes and cure. Matthew chapter 14. Verses 22-33. I wonder, is all this talk about Jesus really true? Does Jesus really love me? Can I really trust Jesus to see me through life's difficult journey? I wonder whether we have ever asked these questions and found ourselves wrestling with them. Do we know what it is for fears and doubts to arise over them, especially in the midst of life's storms? This morning we're going to be thinking about why we experience fears and doubts and how we are to overcome them. Our focus is going to be on these verses that Dave read to us just a few moments ago, where clearly fears and doubts arise in the mind of Jesus' disciple, Simon Peter. Why then do we experience doubts and fears? Why do we experience doubts and fears? It may have something to do with our temperament, or perhaps I might say our personality. I think this seems to have been the trouble, at least in part, on this occasion for Peter. Peter, you see, had the kind of temperament that tended to get him into all kinds of trouble. He was an impulsive man, wasn't he? Always the first to volunteer for something. Always the first to act without really stopping to think carefully about what he was launching himself into. Let me read to you from John 13. Simon Peter asked him, that is Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going you cannot follow." That was clear. "But you will follow later." Where was Jesus going? He was going to the cross. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay my life down for you. And I think Peter meant what he said. I don't want to question what Peter said. And of course, despite Jesus' warning, he tried to follow him, didn't he? I think that was, in large measure, due to his temperament or due to his personality. None of the other disciples said that they were going to try to follow Jesus. And we know that when he got into the courtyard of the high priest, fears began to take a hold of him. He was asked the question, was he a disciple of the Lord Jesus? And more than once. And each time he denied his Lord. And in this account that we're looking at this morning, we see him acting in a similar kind of way. The disciples were on a boat in the middle of the lake, some distance at least from the land, this time without Jesus. Now the text doesn't say that there was an horrendous storm, but the waves were of a reasonable size and the wind was blowing, it was buffeting against the boat. And of course Jesus came to them walking on the water. At first they thought that he was a ghost and were terrified, but he reassured them that it was him, and presumably their hearts were sort of stilled or calmed when he said that. But look at verse 28. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Can you imagine any of the other disciples asking that question? It had to be Peter, didn't it? This was the kind of person that he was. Now, I acknowledge the fact that Jesus invited him to come. Look at verse 29. Therefore, Peter did nothing wrong when he got out of the boat and began to walk to Jesus on the water. Nevertheless, it wasn't long, was it, before doubts and fears crept into his mind and he found himself sinking and in need of Jesus reaching out to rescue him. Therefore, I want to argue this morning that it was his temperament or his impulsive that was at least in part what got him into trouble. Now we might be the sort of person that when we see the opportunity of doing a bungee jump or going to North Korea or Iran in order to do some mission work, jump at the opportunity. Yep, I'll do it. The Lord will be with me. And of course the Lord will be with us. But the question is, do we have the faith to trust him when things get difficult? Have we really thought about it? Are we prepared for the challenges that might arise once we step out of the safety of the boat? It's interesting, isn't it? On this particular occasion, it seems that Peter didn't have enough faith to keep on walking to Jesus on the water. Look at what Jesus said to him in verse 31. You of little faith. Of course, Peter, like the other disciples, grew in faith through the difficulties and trials of life, as we, of course, do. But I think it's worth at least bearing in mind that our temperament or our personality can sometimes get us into all kinds of difficulties. That can result in doubts and fears. Why do we experience doubts and fears? Well, the second thing to say is because we have a wrong focus. Because we have a wrong focus. And this is really the main point that I want to make as we look at this historical account. At the beginning, Peter's focus was right, wasn't it? His focus was on Jesus and in Jesus' ability to enable him to walk on water. But then he began to focus on the wind and the waves. And that's when the doubts and fears began to flood into his mind. I wonder whether we can imagine what went through Peter's mind as he took his eyes off Jesus and began to focus on the winds and the waves. Boy, these are really big. And that water looks really dark and ominous. People like me don't normally walk on water. Why on earth did I get out of the boat? I'm going to drown. And indeed he began to sink. It must have been a terrifying experience for him. But you see, his focus was all wrong. And friends, I believe that we have to be careful in life what we focus on. We need to be really careful about what we read and about what we watch. Of course, I can't stop any of you from reading all the things that you read. I can't stop you from going to the library or going to the bookshop and buying one of Richard Dawkins' latest books. But I would strongly suggest that it could be very harmful for most of us to try to read it. Because he's such a clever man. And the devil can use him to cause all sorts of doubts and fears to arise in our minds over the very existence of God. I've heard of young, enthusiastic, Bible-believing men go to theological college and there be subjected to all kinds of criticism of the Bible, liberal theology, and so on and so forth. And by the end of their 3 years, they're not fit to go to a church and to teach the Bible. Why? Because they have lost confidence in it. And that's a tragedy. A tragedy. G. Campbell Morgan had already enjoyed some success as a preacher by the time he was 19 years old. But then he was attacked by doubts about the Bible. The writings of various scientists and agnostics disturbed him. For example, Charles Darwin, John Tyndall, Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer. As he read their books and listened to their debates, Morgan became more and more perplexed. Carl Rogers, the US psychologist, was 22 years old when he entered Union Theological Seminary in New York in 1927. While there, he participated in a seminar organized to explore religious doubts. Rogers later said of the group, "The majority of members, in thinking their way through questions they had raised, thought themselves right out of religious work. I was one of them." Friends, we need to be so careful about what we read and what we watch. What we watch on the television. I'm so thankful that I went to a Bible college that didn't encourage me to read and study lots of liberal thinking. Because I think it would have shaken my faith. I think it probably would have caused all kinds of doubts and concerns to arise in my mind. That's not to say that today I don't read some things that liberal people are thinking, but I always read it, what they're saying, within a safe environment. In other words, I'll have someone who I can trust who can critique them alongside me. But of course, there are some things that we can't avoid looking at or focusing on, aren't there? We can't avoid the challenges of poor health, problems at work and the family and so on. And all these problems and difficulties can so easily cause doubts and fears to arise in our minds concerning the love and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're there, aren't they? They're right in front of us. We have to wrestle with them every single day. The important thing, friends, is to make sure that we're not solely focusing on those things. The important thing is to make sure that our primary focus is elsewhere, and we'll come to what our primary focus should be in just a moment. But I want to say, before we move on, an important word about doubt. Doubt is not the same as unbelief. Let me say that again, because I think it's so important. Doubt is not the same as unbelief. It's possible, you see, for believers to experience doubt. Well, we see an example of this, don't we, before us in our text this morning. Peter was not an unbeliever. No, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, he experienced doubt. And some of the greatest saints that have walked the face of this earth have known times of doubt. But doubt is not the same as unbelief. So if we are wrestling with doubt, then we mustn't assume that we're heading towards a lost eternity, that we're destined for destruction, because doubt is not the same as unbelief. Secondly then, how do we overcome these doubts and fears that we experience? Well, let me say two things, and this is not particularly complicated. I'm sure you know these things already, but it's important, I think, to emphasize them. How do we overcome these doubts and fears? Firstly, by a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and his power and a steady confidence in it. By a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and his power and a steady confidence in it. I think we must say that this is what Peter had when he first stepped out of the boat onto the water. He believed in the Lord Jesus. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. I trust you. I know who you are. I know all that you can do. I've seen your miracles. I've seen you calming the storm. You are so awesome, so great, so powerful that you only have to speak a word and the wind and the waves die down. Even now I can see you walking on the water towards me. Just give me the word." Friends, it's so important that we know the truth about Jesus. Let me dare to put it this way. It's so important that we know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's so important that we take the time to read the Gospels and the Epistles so that we are clear in our minds as to who he is and his love for those who belong to him. You see, it's the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that will set us free. Free from anxiety, free from fear. Free from all kinds of doubts and fears. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, was a man who knew the Lord Jesus and had great faith in him to see him through life's challenges. Let me read to you one of his many, many stories. When Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind, and we are drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they are cannibals." "What can I do?" asked Taylor. "Well, I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." "All right, Captain, I will. But you must set sail." "Why, that's ridiculous," said the Captain. "There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think I'm crazy." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. And 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. "You can stop praying now," said the Captain. "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." How do we overcome doubts and fears? Firstly, by a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and his power and a steady confidence in it. And secondly, by a resolve to look steadily at Jesus. By a resolve to look steadily at Jesus. And this really is what Peter failed to do, wasn't it? He started out so well. We admire him for the way that he began. He knew that he could trust in Jesus to help him even walk on water. But he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. He began to look at the wind and the waves. What am I doing out here on the water? Why didn't I remain within the boat? These waves are so big, I'm going to drown. If he'd have kept looking at Jesus, then he would have been able to make it all the way to Jesus, wouldn't he? But he didn't. Okay, so we have looked to Jesus in order to save us from our biggest problems, namely sin and death. And that's great. But of course we must continue to look to Jesus. It's not enough to live on initial faith. This world is a tough place. Satan is spreading lots of lies, trials and difficulties arrive. We need to keep on looking to Jesus in the confidence that he can help us to face whatever we may face in life. And do you know what will happen as we continue to look to him? Growing in confidence concerning him, growing in terms of our understanding of him, the more our doubts and fears will seem ridiculous. Totally and utterly ridiculous. Friends, I wonder, have we taken our eyes off the Lord Jesus? It may be that we're having to face trials and difficulties of one kind or another at this present time, and they've become all-consuming. We've found ourselves wrapped up in them. We're struggling to keep our head above the water, so to speak. Let me encourage us to get our eyes back on the Lord Jesus. Let me encourage us to get into his word again if we've been neglecting his word. Let me encourage us to get on our knees once again to him in prayer if we have been neglecting prayer. Let's get our eyes back on the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to say two final words. Words of encouragement. The first is this, that Jesus is able to keep us from falling. This is what the Bible says, Jude 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages now and forevermore. Amen. Do we know what it is to feel as if we're sinking in the midst of life's problems? I'm sure that we can all identify with this. Let's, like Peter, cry out to Jesus in order that he might lift us up again, so that we're able once more to, as it were, walk upon the water and not be overcome by the waves. Jesus, firstly, is able to keep us from falling. But secondly, he will never allow us to finally sink. I find that such an encouraging thought. He will never allow us to finally sink. Yes, troubles come. But he will never allow those who cry out to him to finally sink and be lost eternally. Peter cried out in alarm, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out and caught him. There was no way that Jesus was going to let Peter sink. And he will never allow us as believers to finally sink, for the simple reason that we belong to him. And none shall pluck us from his hand. He loves us, and we can say, along with the Apostle Paul, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How does the hymn that we sometimes sing go? It's one written by John Newton. "His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through." It's just a simple word for us all this morning. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus. Let's keep on looking to him in the midst of life's trials and difficulties. I know how easy it is to look at the storm, to look at the waves, to look at we can't look at the winds, but you know what I mean, to think about the wind. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus. He's the only one in our weakness that can help us rise above the wind and the waves. We need his grace. We need his power. We need his might at work within our lives. He's greater than all we could ever face in this life. And he is so willing and ready to help those who look to him. When Peter cried out for the Lord's help, Jesus didn't say, "Well, look, you've got yourself into that muddle. You try and get yourself out of it." There was nothing of that, was there? Immediately he reached out and lifted Peter up. And that is the kind of God, that is the kind of Saviour that he is. Let me please encourage us to keep on looking to him, not only to save us from eternal destruction, but to help us walk through this difficult and challenging Christian life. Let's pray together, shall we, before we sing our final hymn.